Yes, this is RSN's race day on this Saturday, April 10. Good morning to you listening on your local RSN 927 dial throughout Victoria and Tasmania. And hello to you wherever you may be listening on the RSN 927 app or on our website at rsn.net.au. Well, autumn racing returns to Caulfield for a handy nine-race program with the Galilee Series final, the feature for the staying three-year-olds. And up there in Sydney, it's the start of the championships at the famous Royal Randwick Racecourse. $20 million up for grabs in the next couple of weeks with four Group 1s this afternoon. The Doncaster Mile, the Australian Derby, the English Sires and the best sprinters in the world will do battle in the TJ Smith. Hello, I'm Gareth Hall and welcome to RSN's Race Day.
RSN's Race Day and the first word with Gareth Hall.
Great to be with you on this Saturday morning, a big day of racing right across the country. The first word not far away, James Cummings, Calvin McAvoy, Trent Busset and Wayne Hawks. Matty Raymond, David Eustace, Shane Fleener, Johnny O'Shea and Peter Moody will be joining us in this first hour. We'll also get some track reports for Caulfield and Randwick. And then it's the Melbourne Form panel, looking forward to that with Dean Lester, Warren Huntley and David Gately, along with Nicholas Quinn. After 9 o'clock, once again, the Sydney preview with David Gately and Lizzie Gels. And we'll go around the country and have a look at those other metropolitan meetings, a big meeting up there or across there in Sydney. I mean, I should say at Morpheville, highlighted there by the Port Adelaide Guineas. And it's a big day over there in the west with the West Australian Derby. It's the Mildura Pacing Cup as well in the trots. And a big meeting up there in Sydney in the Dogs with New South Wales feature greyhound meeting of the year, the Golden Easter Egg Final. But we're racing at Caulfield this afternoon in Victoria. Let's get a track update now. And Greg Groves joins us. Good morning to you, Greg.
Good morning, Gareth.
Wake up this morning and it's not a bad morning. Are you expecting any rain?
The Bureau's saying between 1 and 3 millimetres at a 70% chance of. But looking at the radar now, there's a couple of little dots, but not much happening.
All right, we're at a good four at the moment. Do you expect an upgrade then?
I would think so, yes. Yeah. If the weather sort of holds, and they're talking some pretty strong winds during the day as well, so if the wind does get up, it will dry the track out a bit. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with an upgrade to maybe mid-program.
And the rail's out 10 metres. How do you expect it to play today?
OK, we moved the rail from 6 to 10, big fields last week. So we moved it out, generally move it out 3 metres. We moved it out 4 metres in this instance just to cover the bulk of the wear down in the front straight. So there's a couple of scuff marks here and there, but overall, the tracks looks to be quite even. So, yeah, should play okay. We vertigrained the outside 4 metres yesterday, so that won't be a spot to be. But otherwise, yeah, even right across.
Okay, and wind conditions?
They're predicting westerly winds of between 30 and 40 kilometres an hour, which is quite strong. So that means it would be a headwind down the front straight. So that may come into play.
Okay, so horses running on could be advantage this afternoon?
Well, yeah, maybe, yeah. You know, yeah. They might want to seek a bit of cover and then go for it. Yeah, that could happen.
Well, good luck today, Greg. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Greg Groves there with a track update there at Caulfield. Of course, it's the start of the championships at Royal Randwick this afternoon up there in Sydney. Michael Wood joins us now for a track update there. Good morning to you, Michael.
Yeah, good morning.
We had some rain in the latter part of the week. How do you expect the track to play today and what rating will it get to?
Well, we're a soft 7 this morning. It's going to be a little bit of drying conditions there yesterday. At the moment, we're still just tracking a bit of a rain band that's coming from the west. So, you know, that's going to have obviously a bit of an impact on the track there if that were to hit this morning. We are looking at a nice, fine, sunny day after that. So, fingers crossed we can get away with it, you know, with a possible light shower and then it doesn't affect the track a great deal. And then a nice sunny afternoon. But the track itself, nice even cover of grass. So it's about as even a cover of grass as we could get it, considering we've had about a 4-week break now. So very happy with the actual turf condition. Unfortunate to get that rain sort of late in the week where we received an inch, but very happy with the track, yeah. as it presents today.
And the rails in the true?
Yes, yep. Rails back in the true. The whole track was verti drained a little over 2 weeks ago there, just following our major rain event that obviously had an impact there on Golden Slipper Day. So, the track's nice and even.
If the rain does come, do you think it still stays around that soft seven?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got a little bit of wiggle room. Obviously, if it was a decent downpour, we'd have to reassess. And look, we still will have a walk of the track after the rain. But I think we're sort of in that middle to low end of the seven range, which gives us the possibility of a six later in the day when the sun comes out. But also that bit of wiggle room before we get to heavy.
All right, Michael. Wind conditions there at Randwick?
Yeah, they're predicting more of a westerly wind, so not a great deal of impact there in the straight. More so just probably in their face a little bit, come from the 1200 chute, for say the TJ and things like that, but nothing overly strong that should have a major influence on the races.
Well, thanks for the update. Enjoy the opening day of the championships, Michael.
Will do. Thanks a lot.
There's Michael Wood with a track update there for Randwick. And James Cummings kicks off our coverage here on RSN's Race Day regarding the first word. He's got a big day, of course, in Sydney. In fact, he's got runners right across the country. Good morning to you, James.
Good morning, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thank you, mate. You've been watching the Masters. They tell me that you can play some golf.
Been watching the Masters. It's been playing hard and fast. And it's been a proper test for the best small collection of golfers they could find all over the world. It's great drama.
Yep.
The only problem with the Masters is they play it in April every year, and it might condemn me to never being able to go.
Yes. Well, maybe one day after you finish up your career in 50 years' time, you can head there, James. What about today? Such a big meeting. We'll start with your runners here in Victoria, then we'll head up to Sydney. Lesage goes around in race number four. We know this gallop is very quick, goes to 1,100 metres. Your thoughts there?
Well, I think she's a quick mare who can put herself right on the pace, and she'll be giving a sight for a long time. The boys are happy with her, and I'd expect another good run from her. She's been very good so far in two runs this campaign.
Conceita goes around in race number five. What did you make of his run there at Bendigo and the Guineas?
Well, it was plain, and it was coming off a negative from a tough and wide run on a wet track at Moonee Valley. Perhaps he can race himself back into some form this afternoon.
And fatigues?
Well, he's been running on strongly. He's a rather one-paced customer, but once he can get mobile and get into his gears, now that he's a bit of this preparation, he could run a race. Perhaps he needs a little bit further, but I think you'll find his 1400-metre record's not too bad.
Can you split those two?
Not really. I think the summary on both of them could suggest where they're both at.
All right, then race one there at Royal Randwick. Paulili goes around, and she campaigned in Melbourne. Now she heads back to Sydney. How do you think she'll go today?
Yeah, he has an effeminate name. But he's,
I apologise there. It is a he.
All right.
That's my fault, James.
Hey, listen, it is a daycare of future champions, and there's colts and fillies in here galore. It might be your old sparring partner, Wayne Hawkes, race, because he still goes pretty well. But I think Paulelli's fast enough to be highly competitive here. He'll be well-suited dropping back from the sires, where we raced him over 1,400 as an experiment. But in my heart of hearts, I really feel like this is a quick horse, and he's been trained for speed here, and I think he'll run well.
Colette won the Adrian Knox Stakes last year. Can you do it again with Flexible?
Yeah, I was disappointed that a two-time midweeker had 57 kilos in a Group 3.
What's going on there, James? Did you make the phone call?
I don't, because I know they've got lots on their minds, but I just suspect that we're not really upholding the spirit of the pattern by putting fillies like her on 57. Nevertheless, she's in some sort of form. She's been competing against the older horses in the midweeks, and it's just a shame to see horses that have far less exposure coming through. The provincial's very, very well suited down in the weights, but she'll be if she can run a strong 2,000, she'll be running a real race here.
All right then, so she's worth an each way ticket.
Oh well, look, you know, if you follow the horse and you like her and you can see what we're trying to do, yes, it wouldn't discourage anybody. She's quite well, that filly, but but she's very, very badly in at the weights, unfortunately.
I'm a big fan of Adamo. He deserves a big Group 1. Can today be his day in the English sights?
Well, he's perfectly set up for the race. You can see that anybody with a pencil in their hand has been attracted to this horse, and that's for good reason. It had to be the production of one of the runs of the day in the Golden Slipper from Barrier 15. He strikes a smaller field here, up to 1400, perfectly suitable at set weights. This is certainly going to be his dance floor, and it'd be really nice for him to convert. He's got all the build up of a horse like Microphone, who won this race with a couple of years ago, and I think the horse is perfect for the race. He's had the perfect lead up, and his form is the sort of form you're looking for when you're trying to find a size winner.
You must love training him, James, because he has been in all of the big dances for the two-year-olds this season, and he does not let you down.
The Irish Coolmore slogan. I was going to save it for the winning interview.
we got it out of you first, James.
He's just taken it. He has danced all the big dances, and the horse is, as a result, quite well seasoned. I'd suggest he'd be running a very good race. He's got to be the big danger here.
You have a chat to Bivouac today before he goes to the races and say, mate, if you get the job done today, you will be the world's best sprinter. Are you confident that he can do just that?
Oh, listen, the way the horse has trained in the lead up to this TJ Smith and his demeanour, the look in his eye, yep, pulling up from his gallop, everything about the horse suggests we couldn't have him any better. On the eve of his Australian retirement from racing, he's absolutely perfect. He's the genuine Group One sire in this fantastic world class sprint race, and he's the one the breeders will be paying very close attention to. His record speaks for itself already. I mean, already he's got an absolutely phenomenal reputation to retire on the back of, but what a sweet fairy tale victory this would be to end what has been a magnificent sprint career.
You sound pretty confident after looking him in the eye, it sounds like, James, after track work the other day.
I am. I'm very confident. I can't have the horse any better, but I've got my feet on the ground. I'm taking on two of the best sprinters in the world. Eduardo's your Everest winner later in the year. And Nature's Trip, well, he's been there before as the defending champion in this race. He's evidently flying, and it's just a proper race. This is the race of the day.
Yep.
So my horse can challenge them, and I think the setup is just perfect for him.
In the Doncaster Mile, you saddle up three chances: Cascadian, Avilius, and Best of Days, James.
Yeah, I think they're all well put together to find their way into the Doncaster here. Australian Cup placing of Best of Days with the gap between runs suits him down to the ground. He can be a bit closer than the other two, put himself right in the race. The upgrade of the track is in his favour. You'll notice they put it up a soft seven. And I think it might even get to a six by the time we're racing in the Doncaster. Mm-hmm. Provided these showers stay away, as it is a little bit overcast in Sydney at the minute. And the horse is just so competitive at the moment. He's really got that zest for racing. Cascadian got this ability to run a really, really good race in his preparation when he's had at least one run already at the mile. And we afforded him that chance in the George Ryder, and he ran on very, very nicely out wide there. He's going to be perfectly suited dropping down into the handicap. And as you saw when we had him for his grand final in the Cantala last spring, he really knows how to mix it with the best of them in these Group 1 handicaps. So that's where we think we've got him today. And, well, Avilius, the horse speaks for himself. He's luckless in the George Ryder. He's the worst weighted of my three runners, but not terribly. He's closer to a lot of those horses at the bottom than he would have been a couple of years ago. So I got that feeling that with the track condition being still soft enough for him to feel good and let down, and for him to be piloted by James McDonald, who's our premiership leading rider. His stocks are really soaring coming into this Doncaster, and it would not be an undeserved victory to see the Statesman salute.
Yes. That would be some story if Avilius got up and took out the Doncaster this year. And guys, should we put this galloper in our quaddy who goes around in the last race, the PJ Bell Stakes, James?
Well, it's not the best placed horse of ours all year. She's going to find standing herself in a massive field, a lot to do out wide. But if late in the day it's looking good to be out there, we'll be disappointed. We might have scratched her. And with a big booming finish she produced at Kembla, a nice healthy gap between runs, I could see her running some sort of a race, and as a black type performer already, somewhere we've got to go looking for that opportunity to win at this level, and if it happens to be today, we will take it.
And don't forget at 151, James, you've got two fillies in Adelaide, and they're the featured 2-year-old fillies race. They're listed race, the two favourites, Cloudy and Translation.
Gareth, try as I might to get something past you, I can never do it. I don't know how you found them, but yes, they're both very well placed across the border. The boys sent both fillies over in excellent condition. They're feeling very well, settled in, and they've got the setup there looks really good for those two horses. And there's lots of unexposed form in that race, but we've got. Very importantly for us, Frosted is doing a very good job here. In fact, he's doing a good job in America at the moment too, that stallion. This is an opportunity for us to double down on the extremely impressive performances of our other top Frosted 2-year-old Ingratiating, who's won over $750,000 in prize money as a 2-year-old with a placing in the Blue Diamond and the Golden Slipper. If we can add to that tally of Frosted Stakes winners, it wouldn't do any harm to that stallion stocks.
Oh, you're unbelievable, James. If I had a mare, I'd be sending it straight to Frosted after that. What's your best today? And don't forget, you've got runners in Newcastle as well.
Well, look, I'll stay out of what my best is. I'll leave that alone. But it's a very important day for us, so please give them a cheer.
Yes.
We can turn the needle today with big performance, especially from some of these colts. And needless to say, we're very, very happy with our charges going in. So if you like any of them, then please do stick with them.
I just got a question coming through from someone that didn't put their name to it from Rose Hill. Who would be better settling up a horse, Darren Beeman or Wayne Hawks?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. I reckon Darren, if one happened to get a little bit rambunctious, Darren would be a little better at getting under the rail and getting out of the danger spot. Whereas I got a feeling that Wayne would cop one right in the gut.
Yes, that's a very good point you make, James. Hey, you go and have a cup of tea with some honey and look after that throat. Good luck today.
All right, cheers. Thanks, Gareth.
There's James Cummings there. Calvin McAvoy joins us now. Good morning to you, Calvin.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth. How are you going?
Good, thanks, mate. Couple of nice chances at Caulfield this afternoon, first of all. And dollar for dollar, geez, it looks well placed in the second race over the 1,200 metres.
Yeah, look, he certainly does. His first up run was very good. He was quite wide on the track. But he's taken great improvement going towards today. Obviously staying at the 1,200. He's probably his best distance is 1,400. But with his program towards the Goodwood, this looks the right race. He's right gaining grades for the first time in a long time. With Will's claim, I think he's very well placed.
Yeah, his run was pretty good first up.
Yeah, I think it really was. He got very tired. Jamie Carr was pleased with the run, but he did knock up. He's quite a round horse to get going. He had a couple of good, strong gallops on the course proper here at Ballarat since that. And he looks fantastic, the old boy.
All right, what about Silent Sovereign that goes around in race number 7 on the program? Your thoughts on how she's travelling this preparation?
Look, I think she's going really well, Gareth. I really do. And I was very confident going into the Albury Cup, but just a couple of things. It was quite a firm track and it went quite slow and she got back. I think the format of that race has stood up. Finally up to a mile and a half, I think, is the key. Chris Holder's got a couple of imports in there and obviously Kieran and Dave that look hard to beat. But my mare, you know, she's really good at this trip, and her work early in the week was as nice a work as I've seen from her.
All right, then. So an each-way hope there in that race at Caulfield. From that gate, where do you want her to be?
Yeah, she can get running a little bit. So Dean will just be told to try and get her to come back and breathe, wherever that might be. It'll probably be midfield, I'd say. But as long as she's doing it comfortably, that's all I'm worried about.
Does Calvin McAvoy have a special in Adelaide?
Look, I don't think we do, actually, to be honest. I think dollar for dollar is probably out there.
Okay.
Bet today. But look, we're going to be around the mark in Adelaide. There is one in race nine, a filly called Narrative Star. She's about 20-1, and she's probably worth a fiver each way for that.
All right, then. We'll do just that. Narrative Star, horse number 13 in that final race in Adelaide. Good luck, Calvin. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Gary. Thank you.
There's Calvin McAvoy there at 7:25. You're listening to The First Word here on RSN's Race Day. We might take a quick break. On the other side of it, we'll catch up with Wayne Hawkes and Trent Busserton.
RSN's Race Day and The First Word with Gareth Hall.
7:28, this is The First Word on this Saturday, the 10th of April, the opening day at the Championships there at Randwick, and also a handy enough meeting at Caulfield, highlighted by the Galilee Series final there for the three-year-old stays. And Wayne Hawkes has two strong chances at Caulfield, Team Hawkes, and a host of strong chances up there in Sydney. Wayne Hawkes joins us now. Good morning, Wayne.
Morning, Gareth.
Hunnam, I am well. Hunnam goes around in the first race there at Caulfield. You're pretty keen on its chances when we had a chat to you in Sydney earlier on the week. You're still pretty confident?
Yeah. Look, he's, you know, his run was good the other day. I know Stone's got a big rap on there, but it's the one who beat us last Saturday. So we're backing up week to week and applying the blinkers. So hopefully the blinkers will do the trick.
Up to 1,200 metres, and with the blinkers, you think that might just be that winning formula?
Well, I hope so. I certainly hope so. It's the right race and everything like that for him. So he's pulled up good and trained on well and happy with him.
Superium, Wayne, is first up for your stable in race number three. He trialled nicely in Sydney recently.
Yeah, he has. His form looks a bit hot and cold, but he hasn't had much luck, that horse. So he's only the first time that we've taken the races for us. So you're always just a touch bit new with a new horse, but he's done everything right. He's done nothing wrong. And he travelled down to Melbourne when Thursday night and settled in there really, really well. So we're quite happy with him.
So you're confident you run a big race?
Yeah, I think he will. You know, he's obviously never been to Melbourne before, so that's not the normal with our stable. Most of ours have been back and forth 100 times. So maybe not 100, but 3 or 4 at least anyway. So, but this is our first preparation with him, and he just doesn't like wet tracks. So we had to scratch him a couple of times for some wet tracks.
The Kindergarten Stakes Race 1, Vandeleur Lass and Bahama represent your stable.
Yep, they're both well. Van Doula won impressively at Sandown, did plenty wrong in Sydney. It was about Boxing Day, I reckon it was. She did plenty wrong that day and only just got beat. We were going to go to the Magic Millions if she ran well, but she didn't. She ran second, but she didn't run good enough for us to go to Queensland. So we spelled her, so she's back. She's first up. She'll run well. And the other filly, Bahamas, a well-bred filly. Her brother made about $1.2 million the other day at the sales.
Yes.
She's got a great pedigree. She's Zululand's little half-sister. So she's got a great pedigree, and she's a fast-running two-year-old type.
Dad Doozdak goes around in the chairman's quality. How did he pull up after his last start?
Yeah, he pulled up well. He's got a lot of ability, but he just probably hasn't quite acclimatised completely here. He's going to win the Canberra Cup and just pitted out that last little bit. So tracks a soft 7, so soft 7 in the mile and to 2,600. Which is basically a mile and a half and a bit. It'll be right up his alley, to be fair.
English Sires, Hylau represents your stable. You had a chat to us earlier on the week as well, and you said John Hawke says this two-year-old is just ready to go for this afternoon's Group 1. How has he trained on since, and how is he this morning?
Yeah, he's great. He only had a can around this morning, but he looks really well. And this is the race that he's been set for. We didn't set him for the Golden Slipper, and albeit when the race got pushed back a week, we probably would have run him in the Golden Slipper if they had have opened the acceptances back up. They did for every other race by the slipper, but we're not complaining. This is the race that we set him for, and he's great as well. And win, lose, or draw, or goes to paddock on Monday.
TJ Smith, you've got Bivouac, Nature's Trip, and Iwato at the top of the market. Are the punters starting to forget about Mask Crusader?
Good. I've been the short price favourite. You've got Chautauquas. They're all looking for the only with Chautauqua. He was looking at them because he was always out the back last. But I quite like not going in as the favourite, to be totally honest. I reckon it's much, much better. They sort of tend not to worry about you so much, and they'll be looking at all the big high-profile horses. He's done a treat. Everything was fantastic. It was a great win the other week at Mooney Valley under lights. So if he can repeat that performance, he's going to be in it right where he is.
Dirty Work cause any kind of upset?
He's done nothing wrong. He's unlucky in the Oakley Plate. He probably should have won. So he's done terrific, and he's the best-looking horse, Dirty Work. Geez, a good-looking horse.
Yep.
He's going to make some stallion. He's win, lose, or draw. He's off to the breeding barn at Spendthrift on Monday. So he is a beautiful-looking horse, Dirty Work. So it'll be great to go on a winning note. There's no doubt about that. We'll be doing our best with him.
Rock and Race 9, which is the Doncaster Miles. Is it too wet for him?
Yeah, well, you know, probably, yeah.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we're going to run him. He's going to paddock on Monday, win, lose, or draw. But was hoping for a better track. And I mean, Rose Hill is quite cool and quite overcast. I'm getting a few spits of rain now, so we're going to get a wet bum. I think it's Ramwick today, unfortunately.
And Najmah goes around the filly in the Bell Stakes over the 1,200 metres. She's a pretty brave filly, Wayne. Is she an each-way hope in your eyes?
Yeah, she is. She is. She's the horse of Peter Snowden's that beat Hunter last Saturday at Caulfield. They're sisters. She didn't have much luck last start, Najmah, and she'll appreciate 1,200 on the wet track at Randwick. That's a sure and certain. So she's certainly in it with a good chance.
Could be a big day for the stable, Wayne. Is there any standout?
You know what? You can't get too cocky. You don't have a Chautauqua.
No.
If you had a Chautauqua running, you'd be right. But don't think we have one quite as good as him running today. But you know what? They have eight runners on Derby Day. It doesn't get much better than that. And that tells you that your horses are going well.
It was Chautauqua's day there for a while, wasn't it? He dominated the TJ Smith. I've watched those replays 1,000 times. And Darren Flindell.
They give you goosebumps, and then Darren Flindell just puts the cherry on top, doesn't he, with some of his greatest ever calls. It's the Chautauqua Group 1 montage. It's a hell of a good read, I reckon, isn't it?
Have you sold that $2.5 million colt yet?
We have, yeah. There's nothing left of him.
Oh, that's
amazing. You're going to disappoint him. You're a lovely horse for 100 grand. Everyone's got one of them. You get one at the top end, and they're, silly as it sounds, they're quite often the easiest ones to sell. The more expensive they are, the more high profile they are, the easier they are to sell. So, but to be fair, we had him done before the sale even started. You can't go into a yearling sale and try to spec $500,000 for for 20% or something like that. It's $2.5 million, Gareth. It is a house, and everyone thinks about what their house is worth. I just like the GST, which is 10% of that, to be honest.
That would be nice. Hey, Wayne, good luck today. Enjoy Rose Hill track work.
Thanks, mate. See ya.
There's Wayne Hawkes there. Matty Raymond's got probably the most intriguing runner at Caulfield this afternoon with Native Soldier going around in the second event. Good morning to you, Matty.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Good, thank you. We haven't seen this son of Sepoy since Boxing Day of 2018 when he won the Christmas Stakes. He's trialled or jumped out nicely in the lead-up to his long-awaited return. What are your expectations?
Look, I think after 2.5 years off, you don't want to get your hopes up too high, but he's in terrific order. His work at home has been really good. So today will be a real test under race pressure. Is he going as good as we think he is?
And what was the reason why he had that long off?
He just had a couple of ligament issues that he kind of kept re-injuring, trying to get back to the races. So probably the last 12 months have just taken things a lot slower with him. Not try to rush him back at all, and obviously getting him down to the beach has really helped that.
And I guess mentally too, Matty, obviously with that long injury layoff, you just hope that when the pressure's on that he just really wants to stride out, but you're confident that he should do that?
Everything comes to him pretty natural. He's a natural athlete, and he's got a pretty laid-back, cruisy character. So I think the time off mentally isn't going to be an issue at all, just obviously fitness-wise, being a five-year-old stallion. He was pretty heavy when he come in, but like I said, he's done a lot of work. He's had those 2,000-metre jumps out, so it'll be good to see him there today.
Have you got any particular race in mind for him, or is it just a race-to-race proposition? With the carnival not far away in your hometown.
Yeah, absolutely. We've obviously got a few ideas up our sleeve, but we'll just get through today, see how he's going, obviously, under race pressure, and then providing he comes through it well and runs a good race, we can decide where we go from there.
So you're confident he'll be thereabouts, and he wouldn't surprise you if he does win, but you're just hoping that he enjoys today's experience, I guess, Matty.
Yeah, look, obviously it's a handy enough race. There's some nice horses in there, but as I said, he's a natural athlete and he does everything pretty easy. So whether he gives that bit extra today on race day or not today will be the telltale, but I think he can run a good race.
All right, we wish you the best of luck, Matty.
Thanks, guys.
There's Matty Raymond joining us there. Dave Eustace joins us as well, and the Eustace Mark Camp, especially with their stays, are on fire at the moment. Dave, good morning to you. Thanks for your time.
Gareth, morning. How are you?
Good, thank you, mate. You've got a couple of runners in the Galilee Series final, the feature event for the three-year-old stays at Caulfield this afternoon, Through Irish Eyes and Silicon Valley. Through Irish Eyes, this looks a nice race.
Yeah, he's a very, very nice stay. He's going to be a really nice day as a four-year-old, but he continues to strengthen up in work. He's a Tavistock who's just maturing all the time, and I think he will make a big, big step up from his maiden. He's improved with blinkers, and really he's just improved with racing and time. So, I thought Cindy's horse is clearly the one to beat, but I think he'll give him a shake today.
All right, then, is he on the path to a St. Ledger?
Yeah, today will sort of show whether he's, St. Ledger or whether he's got the class for an Adelaide Derby.
Okay.
And very much today will tell us that. I think he could be up to a genuinely rough race at Adelaide Derby, but we'll see.
Silicon Valley in the same race as another three-year-old, a progressive type that is winning of late as well.
Yeah, he's improving all the time, as they do, these young stayers, and he beat the older horses, which is, not easy to do, albeit probably not in the strongest race, but he's come on from that. He's probably even more so than Through Irish Eyes, a genuine stayer, and is more ledger bound, and he has schooled at home as well, and schools pretty well, so he might end up on a jumps campaign, but we'll stick to the flat at the moment.
Race number seven, where Lord Belvedere probably goes quicker at home on a Monday, Tuesday morning than he did in the Mornington Cup. How did he come through that effort?
Yeah, thankfully unscathed, but it was a hard luck story for him and plenty of others. But in particular him, he two things went wrong for him, really. They went slow and he got cluttered up, which he just absolutely hates. So hopeful that there's a bit more tempo today. And he's very much a tempo-related horse. He'll be second half and given a bit of room. It's a nice gate for him, actually. Just to be able to get to the outside and come with a run. So his work on Tuesday was very good, and I think he's all speed.
And is South Pacific ready to fire as well, stepping up in trip, or he may be another couple of runs away?
Yeah, I'd say he's a run away, Gareth. Yeah. The Warrnambool Cup has been a name for him as well as the Ramsden, but sort of keep an eye, very much keep an eye on the track as well. Hopefully it's not too quick, and we can start. But I think he'll need to run under his belt.
Fan of Grand Promenade, thought he was pretty good first up. Can he win second up in race eight?
Yeah, he was very good first up. He's obviously entitled to improve a lot for that. He's in really good order. I think the concern is he ran when the rail was out at Caulfield over 2000 on Blue Sapphire Day, and he just sort of got caught chasing. He's not a horse who's got a great turn of foot. He's got a really good, like a good horse's high cruising speed, and can sustain. But it's just not easy to make ground, I think, in those staying races when the rail's out. And yep. That'll be the key, is actually if he can get forward and sort of on the front end, he'll run well. He will improve again to going to the mile and a half. And again, the Warrnambool Cup's been a race mapped out for him as well as the Ramsden.
Royal Randwick, opening day of the championships. Is it wet enough for maybe feel the rush to be competitive in the chairman's quality in race five?
Oh, God, I hope so. She needs to start doing something fairly quickly. But to be fair to her, she's only just getting closer. Ideal distance. She wants 2 miles on very heavy ground to come to her best. So I hope we see a little bit more from her.
Can you win the Derby with Explosive Jack and also Toscanini?
Yeah, I don't think it wouldn't be the biggest surprise if Explosive Jack was able to win. I think he'll need them to go quick and make it a genuine slog. He stepped away a bit tardy and will be second half, no doubt. But if they run along, I think he will be hitting the line strong. And he's got a top six chance in the race, and I think he's worth an each way bet. Toscanini was, he was a bit disappointing the other day, and hopefully a short turnaround too.
And of course, Makura, the filly, goes around in the Bell Stakes that last race, and you've got to love her. She was pretty good first up. Can she do it again?
Yeah, she's good fresh. She's incredibly tough. She'll give her all. It's a step up again, and we feel she's spot on for the race. So look, I thought it was a wide open race. There's a lot of fillies win it, but she's as well as we can get her. So hopefully it's enough.
And can Benny Allen kick home Skyhorse in the second in Adelaide, and of course in the big one, Let's Crack a Deal will represent your stable in the Port Adelaide Guineas.
Yeah, she's very, very well, Skyhorse. I think she's going to be her work's been very good. I think she'll be hard to beat. She is better with cutting the ground, but performs on top of the ground. But I think she'll be mighty hard to beat. And Let's Crack a Deal was excellent run. Barry's just a little bit awkward. I don't think we'll be able to pin Ben down too much there. He'll have to sum that up, but. But naturally, he's come on. I think he's really come on for his first up run. And we sort of wanted to travel him, get him used to the travel and go to the Derby in a month's time.
Your best chance around the country?
I think Skyhorse is our best chance. I really do. And yeah, I'm hopeful that Explosive Jack can run above his odds. And as I say, if they go quick up front, he could run a place.
All right, mate. Good luck today.
Thanks.
There's Dave Eustace there. Let's hear what Joe Pride had to say about Eduardo's chances. Of course, Eduardo flying at the moment and is one of the horses to beat in the TJ Smith up there in Sydney.
I think we can do either and potentially win. So, and that's the good thing about this horse. He's got, he is versatile and adaptable. Whereas I think Nature Chip's pretty much only got one way he can win. And when you watch his replays at Randwick, he's a bit of a bully at Randwick. And if he doesn't get his way, he's quite vulnerable. So we've got to take his way away from him. So, whether that means crossing him, that's going to depend on how we begin or when we put some pressure on him. But he won't be going around unopposed.
And let's hear what Johnny Sargent had to say about his filly in the English size, the 2-year-old Group 1 race up there in Sydney. Of course, her name is 4 Moves Ahead.
You're saying so. She's got the perfect draw. Will be on speed out of trouble. A small field. It could be tactical, but we'll be in the first 2 or 3. There's no doubt about that. That's the way Tim Clark rides, and that's how she races. So it should suit her. She'd won at Randwick before. We had a lot of rain this morning. It looks like it's top now, so the track will be at least top. That won't worry her either. So, no, I think she'll be right, and can't wait to get her there.
And you can get around $5 for four moves ahead in that size race. We'll take a quick break on the other side of it. We'll wrap up the first word on this Saturday morning.
RSM's race day and the first word with Gareth Hall.
Hopefully enjoying your Saturday morning. It's 11 minutes to 8 o'clock at Caulfield today. Maybe a track upgrade. At the moment, it's a good four. There is about a millimetre of rain predicted, but that still might miss Caulfield. The rail's out 10 metres the entire circuit there this afternoon. And up there in Sydney, currently a soft 7. There is rain predicted in the mid part of the morning, but even if that rain comes, they still should be running on a track around a soft 7 because there is drying conditions after that. This man stable's flying at the moment, based out of Bendigo. I speak of Shane Fleetner. He's been good enough to join us here on the first word. Good morning to you, Shane.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth.
Air Defence is a 3-year-old in form. I thought he was pretty good at Bendigo and the Guineas there on his home track last start. Can you turn the tables on horses like Anavisto and also Mozzie Monster?
Yeah, that's a good question, really. Don't know about that. Probably around Caulfield. Maybe not, but he'll race up in the first. He'll be in the first three, of course. He was thereabouts the other day. He's a little bit flat in the straight at Bendigo, and I just thought he paid the price for winning a good money race at Mooney Valley, and not that you'd knock it back, but weight-wise, he paid the price at Bendigo, but that's turned around a little bit today. I think we get 4.5 kilos off Anavisto today, and we get 2 kilos off Mozzie Monster. But so it's interesting. Basically, his mission is the following week in the Vobis size 1600-metre race.
Yep.
We just didn't want, he's a big, tall horse, we just didn't want 3 weeks between runs going into a, what could be a, like winning a lottery for a cheap horse.
Yeah, he's been some horse for Connections out of fence, and as you pointed out, it was a big money race there at the Valley, and it could be a big couple of weeks for your three-year-old there starting at Caulfield this afternoon. And then you've got High Stranger, who's been the star of the stable, really. He won the Echuca Cup two starts back. And what did you think of his effort in the Golden Mile there last start, Shane, when he was midfield?
I thought it was all right, but he was probably in the worst spot for him. He was sort of tucked away on the rail, and when they sprint, he's always takes a little bit of winding up. Once he winds up, he's right. Had to sort of get a passageway through him to get to the outside of him. Probably while he was doing that, the bird had flown, and I like the way he finished off the last 200. He's probably finished off the last 200 as good as anything in the race. So I'll give him some chance. Yeah. Right. I'm pretty happy to have two competitive runners.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, Shane. Good luck, mate.
Very good, thank you.
Yep, so good pushes there for Air Defence and High Stranger there for Shane Fleetner, the Bendigo trainer, heading to Caulfield this afternoon. John O'Shea, Jesus, great to see him training Group 1 winners once again. His stable's on fire and he's been good enough to join us here on the first word. Good morning to you, John.
Morning, guys. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. Ron Donella goes around in the chairman's quality here to Randwick this afternoon in race 5. What can you tell us there?
She's been going really well in unsuitable races, so she gets to a preferred trip off a good barrier today. So we're sort of looking for a big improvement. Been very happy with her at home. So, she thinks she's got a good knockout chance.
Lions Roar, of course, has won a Group 1 already this prep, taking out the Randwick Guineas. But you've always said, and leading up to, say, the Rosehill Guineas, that this is his grand final, the Australian Derby. You're confident going into today's feature?
Mate, to be honest, I would have preferred a dry surface.
Yeah.
The key for Lions Roar is that he's got a turn of speed, and when you get the ground just that little bit damper, it sort of dulls his turn of foot. So, but we're happy with the horse. He's a very fit racehorse. Hopefully we get, you know, a nice day here at Randwick where the ground gets to a soft six. It will be tremendous. And if we got to that, well, the, you know, there'll be no excuses.
All right, then. And what's your gut feeling there based at Randwick? Obviously, there's a little bit of rain predicted, but do you think there's a chance it might get to a soft six?
Mate, I was sort of thinking that way until it's actually raining a bit now. So, so probably we'll stay in the seven, you know.
All right, then. And in the final race, All Hallows Eve represents your stable, Lightly Race Filly, and she gets her opportunity in a nice race.
Yeah, she's a good filly. It looks a race of good speed, albeit she's got a terrible draw. It may well be advantageous to be coming to the centre by then. She just, you know, she lobs in sort of midfield. I think she can sort of make a, you know, case for herself late in the race. So not without a chance.
What's your best?
Oh, mate, our best chance to win a race, Lions Roar. So if we win a race, nice race to win.
Good luck, mate. Thanks, John.
Cheers.
There's John O'Shea there. Talking about the Derby, let's hear from David Payne, who trains the favourite, the filly Montefilia.
Definitely closer. You know, she can use that gate and maybe let 5 or 6 leaders. I think she should actually beat all those that have actually raced with, you know, that barring bad luck, because I think she would improve more.
All right, then. So there's David Payne talking about his star filly. He'll be third up into the Australian Derby. Representing Victoria in the Australian Derby this afternoon is Danny O'Brien's 3-year-old Young Verta.
Yeah, I think we'll have to ride him a bit conservative. You know, obviously, with the blinkers on, you don't want to fire him up from a wide gate. So I'd say plan A will be that he'll be quiet midfield or beyond. And, you know, it's going to be a testing mile and a half there tomorrow on a testing surface. So, you know, he's a very good stayer and hope he gets his chance to run into the finish.
At Caulfield, the horse to beat in that final race is a horse that's had a really good campaign this time around. In fact, he's been up for a little while. I speak of Platoon. He's trained by the Hall of Famer across there in Western Australia, Neville Parnham. Good morning to you, Neville.
Hey, good morning. How are you, bud?
Good, thanks, mate. You back at Ascot? I saw you there in Sydney at the sales. Big day for racing in WA. Of course, the feature race there's the WA Derby.
Yeah, the Derby's always a good race. It's a bit disappointing field this year, but I guess it's way out of time. But it's a good day. It's fine weather, etc. Expecting a bit of a storm here tomorrow with the cyclones about to collide. So, yeah, it might be an interesting couple of days after today.
All right, mate. Well, you stay safe in the big house. You've got a couple of bunkers there, so you should be okay. Platoon goes around in the last race here at Caulfield. A lot of good judges tipping this horse on top today, Nev. Do you share their confidence?
Oh, I hope they're right, yeah. You know, he's certainly done really well. Sass is over there with him, and he's very happy with the horse. And his last run was excellent. Damien was sort of really happy with his effort. He sort of got exposed a fair way out and after having covered for a little bit, and then he sort of did it fairly hard from there and wide and in the breeze. So for him to finish off as well as what he did, he was certainly he certainly ran a great race, and from what I can understand, he hasn't gone backwards, and looks a good race for him. Yes,
he's a versatile horse. He won a listed race over 1,200 metres. He was competitive in a Perth Cup. But do you think with the two-week gap, 1,600 metres, this is the perfect formula for him?
Oh, this is his distance. Yeah. You know, he won that sprint race off a freshen up from the Perth Cup, I think maybe 42 days, I think, of that the number was. But it was really good that day, and that prompted me to sort of throw him on the plane with Indian Pacific and send him across. And he's carried his own over there. He's done well, and I thought this race sort of was really suitable to him. But yeah, look, he looks like he's got a great chance today.
And Barry too, can he settle a little closer, Nev?
Don't really want him to be too close, but I'm sure Mark Zara knows where he's going and what he's doing, so he'll work it out, but. I think if he was a couple of pair back, or at least a pair off the leaders, he probably suits him better. And if it's possible to stay off the fence, even better. But If he can't, well, hopefully he can work into the clear, getting into the corner, so that he can finish off with that strong finish that he's got.
Now, Neville, you rarely miss when you give us one at Ascot. Have you got a standout for us? Something we could have something on?
Well, nothing that's over the line. I've got a favourite in the first, which she should be very hard to beat, City Circle. She ran a good second last week after doing a bit of work. And I like Downforce in the last. I think he's the race sets up really nicely for him. He's had a few runs and he's won a few this couple this time in. So he had a few weeks between runs. I think he's cherry ripe for today.
All right, race 9, horse number 4, Downforce with Stephen Parnham to take the ride. Neville, we wish you the best of luck.
Cheers, bud.
There's Neville Parnham there. Let's have a look at the scratchings there at Caulfield now for the meeting there in Victoria. And at the moment, we are on a good 4, expecting maybe an upgrade later on in the day. Not much rain predicted in Melbourne, if any. So the scratchings here for the card at Caulfield with the rail out 10 metres. In the first race, scratch 1, Brothers Shadow, 7, Pay Rise. Race 2, the 4, Just Hyperluton is out. Race 3, scratch the 11, Wise Hero. Race 4, the 10, Knowles comes out. Race 5, put a line through the 2, South Parade, and 9, Palace Whisper. Race 6, scratch the 10, Yankee Diva. Race 7 is clear. Race 8, scratch 9, Crimson Ace, and 11, Play Me Now. And at race 9, put a line through the top, Al Galail is a scratching there. So race 9 at number 1. It's right on 8 o'clock. It's time for the news. Straight after this, it's the Melbourne Form Panel with Dean Lester, David Gately, Warren Huntley, and Nicholas Quinn.